And so we turn to Psalm 121 together, and we read the entire psalm. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in this time of vacation, so many of us are traveling to see different places and to enjoy a time of rest so that we can come back with fresh energy to faithfully do our work. And as we travel, some of us longer distances than others, I trust most of us are aware of one thing, the need that you and I need to be kept. Kept by the Lord. And perhaps, especially in this time of COVID pandemic, it's more acute in our minds. I need to be kept. Need to be kept from harm, from danger, kept. Maybe you sometimes fear, will I get the virus? So I would not be surprised if when you think about these things, or when you go for vacation, or you go for travel, that you, before you drive off to a place, to a destination, that you come to this psalm that we are going to consider tonight. Psalm 121. It's often called the travel psalm. Throughout the ages, not just we, but throughout the ages, people have turned there. For instance, David Livingstone, when he was going to Africa, he first went to this psalm. He turned there to, and they turned there, and we turned there to have our minds focused on the Lord God who keeps us. When we travel, when we go through times of danger, when we come to times of uncertainty, as ours certainly are. And so this evening, we would like to listen to these well-known words of the psalm. And perhaps you have memorized them, these words, children. And maybe they are so well-known that you can even echo them. But it's always our desire when we listen to God's word that God would come with new power, that by His Spirit He would make these words fresh to us and impress them upon our hearts. This theme, this simple theme, kept, is our thought, our theme for tonight. And we think about four questions. Four questions that we ask this psalm, that we try to answer from this psalm. The first question is, why? What's the reason that you and I can feel safe and be kept? Second, who? Who are these people that are kept? The psalm gives an answer to us. And how? In what way are these people being kept? And then the last question, when? What are the situations in which God keeps His people? And may we consider these questions and consider these answers from the psalm. And may we experience what we hear so often, especially at the end of every evening service. The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace. And that's perhaps also what was in the minds of these people who were traveling, because children, maybe you know that the Israelites were traveling three times a year to Jerusalem, to the great feasts, to be close to God, to worship at His temple, to have these great feasts in which there were pictures that led them to the great works of God in salvation. Sacrifice is needed in order to be entering into the presence of God's holiness. And that's the occasion, that's the setting of this psalm, that's the time in which they were singing this psalm, because that's what we can see when we look at the little words above our psalm. A song of degrees. That means a song of ascent. In other words, this psalm was then sung when they were traveling to Jerusalem to serve God and to know His presence close and to see His wonderful works of salvation displayed in the sacrificial system. And as they came to Jerusalem, then they would ascend the hill upon which Jerusalem lay. In other words, they were go up. That's why it's called songs of ascent or songs of degrees. And there are 15 of these songs. There's 15 of these songs, Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. And these words that they were longing for, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, make His face to shine upon thee, they are woven through all these psalms. And in this psalm particularly, they focus on that word, the Lord will keep you. And as they came closer then to Jerusalem, that's what they were meditating on. And that's the word, that's the one word that stands out in this psalm. It's used six times in this psalm. Verse 3, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Verse 4, he that keepeth Israel shall not neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. And then the word changes a little bit, but the Hebrew word is exactly the same word. The Lord shall preserve thee. Same word again. In the same verse, another time, the Lord shall preserve thy soul. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and coming in. And this word means God will guard His people. He will protect them. He will have His eye on them. He will care for them. Not just passively, like from a distance, just observing. Can you manage? But no, coming close, actively, keeping, watching over His people. And so let's consider the question, the first question. Why can we, you and I, know? How can we know? But first of all, why can we know that we are kept, preserved, and cared for? Well, let's listen to verse 1. Verse 1, when we turn our attention to this verse, it's not immediately apparent in our translation, but the idea is here, children, that the psalmist was traveling there to Jerusalem and he was looking around, looking to the hills surrounding him, looking perhaps to the hills surrounding Jerusalem. And travel was dangerous in those days. Jerusalem there on the hill, he could see it. He came closer and his heart began to beat faster. And then as he comes closer, he asks himself the question. Or maybe as he was traveling with this group, they were asking each other this question and they were singing the answer to each other. Perhaps that's what happened here. What's the question? From whence cometh thy help? In other words, where does your help come from? Let's pause for a moment and ask ourselves this question. Where does our help come from? Are we traveling to the New Jerusalem? Are we looking to be close to the Lord, even now in worship, to experience His presence through His Word, listening to His voice, Him speaking to us, speaking about sin, speaking about the curse, about the fire, but also speaking about salvation. Are we pilgrims looking to higher than Jerusalem? Looking to that new Jerusalem where God dwells, where Christ is, where He is seated on His throne, surrounded by trillions, innumerable angels, uncountable, who worship Him in holiness, who call out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Are we looking to that place? Is that where our help comes from? Is that our answer? And then we are safe. Then we are safe. When we answer, "My help, not in myself, but my help is in the Lord." And that's an answer that we give when we have that true faith worked in our hearts and that true trust, that leaning on the Savior Jesus Christ. Because God is a God, beloved, who can be trusted. God is a God who is faithful to His own. God is a God who keeps covenant to thousands who love Him and keep His commandments. Do you love Him? Do you trust Him? Do you look to the Lord every day to help you? Every day. Is He your Lord? Then you can say this too. You can answer, you can echo tonight, "My help is from the Lord." But you know, there were also other hills. There was this special hill of Jerusalem where God showed Himself close. There were surrounding hills. There were surrounding nations. What did they do on the hills? They thought, "Climb that hill, serve my idol, be close to a God." We look around in our time. We look to the nations. They ask themselves perhaps that question too. Who's going to help me? Who's going to help me? They look to those hills. Things that seem impressive. People answer, for instance, "My help comes from good health. Everything I do to preserve my good health, that I do. As long as I don't get sick or die, I would be worse, then I'm fine." But many of them are driven by the fear of death. Could it be because they don't know the riches that believers have, that we don't die a second later than God has ordained in His plan for your and my life? Not a second later. Is that your confession also tonight? "My help is from the Lord. He keeps me. He keeps me. He knows the day of my death." Others would say, "Well, my help comes from, if I only can feel safe and secure." There's so much confusion and uncertainty. If I at least can feel safe and secure, I will do everything. I make sure I cash every check from the government that the government will give me. I look to the government for my help. Is that a strange response for an unbeliever who does not know what Christians know, true Christians know? That without the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in my place, there is no safety. That's my safety. Jesus Christ. Is that your confession tonight as well? That you say, that's my security. That's my security. Don't you think that people look to those things because they think, when I'm sitting on a pile of money and I feel safe? But they don't understand a thing of the wrath of God over sin that lies upon them. And who's going to tell them? Do we understand? Do we understand that money cannot save us from the wrath of God? Could it be that their fear is because they don't fear the God, the judge of all life, who is angry with the wickedness and the immorality and personal sin? Who's going to tell them? Are you going to say them to them, my help is from the Lord? Do we realize that sin is a much worse evil than any disease? Or others say, well, you know, my help comes from freedom. I need to have freedom. I need to have my, as long as I can do my vacations and enjoyments, then I'm okay. Is it because they've never tasted from the freedom there is in Jesus Christ to serve Him, even when He puts a cross on your shoulders? Do you know that freedom? Is that your freedom? Or are you looking for freedom? I don't wear my mask. Now, I know this is a sticky topic. Maybe I get stung, but that's, so be it. The issue is not so much the mask, whether you wear it or not. The issue is, what is your motive? Are you before the Lord? Does He know your heart, where your trust is? That's the issue, your motive. And the Lord sees it. Some wear it for the wrong reasons. Some don't wear it for the wrong reasons. Some wear it for the right reasons. Some don't wear it for the right reasons. Where is our help? Does it come from the gospel, from Jesus Christ? Or is it something else? Isn't it that we often say, from a young age up, we've learned it. It comes naturally. I want to help myself. I want to do it. It comes from me. And that's also why we are often fearful. Because when it comes from me, it doesn't come from God, who's far more mighty and powerful. It comes from me. My job, my health, my family, my vacation. But this psalm says there's a better answer to those kind of things. It says, as we're, just as you lift your eyes to the mountains, God says, lift your eyes to me. Look a little higher. I alone am your help. Then you're safe. Then you're free. Look at me. Who am I? I'm the maker of the universe. My help is from the Lord who has made heaven and earth. This majestic universe. Uphold by the word, just of my power. The word, since day one. It's quite a different answer when we say, my help is from the Lord who's made heaven and earth. than what people around us say. My help is from the government. No. No. My help is economic prosperity. No. Stock markets. Health. Safety. No. My help is from the Lord. Moment by moment. Do we realize who is keeping us? Do we trust Him who is caring? Do we really realize who He is? The Maker of heaven and earth. I'm the Lord. Those beautiful galaxies when you peer into the skies at night. I made them. I hang all those stars just there. They move at my command. Those glorious high mountains, I made them. When you feel so tiny, I'm even bigger. I'm even more powerful. When you walk through the garden and you see the fluttering of a delicately shaped butterfly, I made them. Beautiful. Those high, gigantic trees waving in the wind. I made them. People created in the image of God. Beautifully shaped by the Lord. Everyone unique. In me they move and live and have their being. My help is from the Lord, who's made heaven and earth. And He's powerful. He's almighty. Perhaps someone says, well, yeah, of course He keeps this world. I know that. Of course, I know He's the Creator. But what about your day-to-day life? What does it say? What does it show? He keeps me. He cares for me. Because if we are honest, how often is it not the case that you wander another day and you think, how am I going to get through? Will He keep me? Maybe you don't even ask the question really in a way that you're aware of it. But still the question, what's going to happen this day? Will He keep me? Danger. Danger is around the corner. Will He keep me? You're going through a day and you wake up and you feel the pains and aches in your body, your mind perhaps. And you wonder, will He keep me? Will He keep me? Or you go through troubles and trials and you need to go to the hospital. And you wonder, will He keep me? Will I come out? So the next question is an important question. Who does He keep, really? And the answer is in verse 4. Behold, He that keepeth Israel. He keeps Israel. It's often easier for us to say, yes, He keeps God's people, because we've heard that over and over. We know it from the Bible. We've read past histories. We know the stories from the Bible. And what you see again and again, despite the sinfulness of His people, He keeps them. He cares for them. It's easy to say, look, God keeps Israel. He keeps His people. It's far easier than to say day after day, moment by moment, maybe minute by minute, to say, He keeps me. He keeps me. When life is dreary, hard, or challenging, when energy levels seem low, when an important and difficult task is before you, when you have your day-to-day struggles of life, we often wonder, don't we? Does He keep me? Is He going to help me today? Must we not confess? Maybe someone is not even asking that question. Just go into the day. Who's going to keep you? Who's going to keep you from destruction? Is it the Lord? He's the only answer. But isn't it because we struggle with these things, because there's this unbelief in our hearts? It takes faith, beloved, to say, my help comes from the Lord who's made heaven and earth. Humble faith. Faith in a God who's infinite, who has infinite resources. An unending supply to help us, to keep us. His almighty power upholds this world. Can He not keep us? Can He not meet us in our struggles, in our weaknesses, in our challenges from day to day? Can He not supply for you and me? It's interesting to listen to verse 5. Because there it says it so plainly, the Lord is thy keeper. Is the psalmist talking to himself? Remember what Psalm 42 and 43 do. Why are you so cast down? We sometimes need that self-talk. O my soul, hope thou in God. I shall yet praise Him. Is the psalmist doing that? And saying, don't forget, the Lord is your keeping. Rest, let go of your cares into His hand. Don't hold on to those things. All those things that you think you need to hold in your hand. No, the Lord is your keeper. But sometimes we need others to say that to us, don't we? To remind us of that. Because we can easily lose perspective, especially in a time like this. Perhaps that's what's happening. As they were traveling, they were talking to each other. They say, remember, the Lord is your keeper. Are you afraid? He's in the business of keeping this world. He made this world. He's in the business of keeping you. Who is He keeping? He keeps me. But often we are holding on to all kinds of things in our minds and hearts. And we think, I need to help myself. I need to keep myself. And so we hold on tight to life, to money, to health, to jobs, to relationships, to parenting, to marriage, to family troubles, and we hold tight. Or have you, by the grace of God tonight, learned, and maybe even now relearning, because it's not a lesson that we learn so easily, the Lord, He keeps me. He keeps me in everything I have. Children, do you have that sometimes? As something that is valuable to you, precious to you, and you want to keep it. Girls, perhaps it's a beautiful ring that you have and you don't wear it every day. So you put it in a special place, right? You want to keep it. Or boys, you have played with Lego and you made a beautiful castle or something. And you put it away, high up, probably. What do you do? You want to keep it away from your brother and sister from destroying it. And suddenly, there's your brother or sister. How it happened, you don't know, but playing with it. What do you do? What do you do? How do you respond? Do you panic? Do you cry out? Do you become angry? Do you start to pull at it? Because I want to have it. I want to keep it. I want to guard it in a panic. And so you pull at it, but you don't realize that when I pull at it, I might actually lose it altogether. Because it might break. Instead of going to your mom or dad and say, look, it's not good. Come, help me. I want to keep it. I want to make sure that it's kept well. And if you do that, if you go to mom or dad, it's in the end, it will be kept much better. And that's a picture that applies right to our text. When we say that the Lord keeps my life, when we are able to lay it in His hands, it's like trusting Him as you trust also your mom and dad to care for that valuable thing, the ring or the Lego building or whatever. But you need to realize the Lord is far stronger, far wiser, far more able to keep it. And so you need to not pull at it, but open your hands and say, my Father, my Heavenly Father, He keeps His people. He keeps me. He can keep everything I have. And that gives true rest. And that's what the Holy Spirit needs to teach us when we are fearful or in a panic. If He can care for the whole world, if He cares for His people, will He not care for you? What did the Lord Jesus say? O ye of little faith. Have you learned it? To open your hands to the Lord. To surrender. No better place to commit our lives and everything we have to those hands. And we are going to consider how He keeps us. How does He keep us? Third question. The Lord keeps His people. And when we are in Jesus Christ, trusting in Him, how does He keep us? Verse 4. Behold. Pay close attention to this. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Remember what happened when Elijah was there on that one mountain and there was this choice to be made for Israel. Is God God or is Baal God? Baal wasn't answering prayers. What does Elijah say to those who were in idolatry? Those priests of Baal. He mocked them. Don't you remember, children? Perhaps your God is sleeping. Perhaps your God is sleeping. And all those things that we try to lean on, those slumber and sleep, those are dead things often. They can't really help. But God can help. But maybe you say, well, I think God is not hearing me. Does He slumber? My question to you is, are you trusting Him? Are you opening your hands to Him to keep your life? Or are you trying to hold on yourself? And are you carrying your cross behind Him? Because the truth is that God is never dozing off. His eyes are always open to the cries of His people, to the cries of the righteous. His ears are open. His eyes are open. He acts on their behalf. Maybe not immediately. Sometimes He tests us. But God is fully awake to all those who, and keeps all those who trust in Him for salvation and help in the ordinary problems of life. Yes. Where's your trust today? Is it in the Lord Jesus or is it in other things? Verse 5 says more about how he keeps. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, 5b says. Think about it for a moment, children. There they walk, through the desert, through the hills, through the valleys, approaching Jerusalem. And as they approach that city, at a certain moment they see it perhaps laying there, and they come close to mountains. Maybe they walk on the side of a mountain, and the sun that was beating at them, there suddenly there is this shade. Because the sun disappears behind the hills, protected from the heat, from the sunshine. Sun does not smite me. And at night, the moon would come out. But they would know, the Lord is my keeper. Nothing can harm me. The Lord gives me refreshing shade. The Lord protects me. The Lord keeps me. He is as close as the shade on my right hand. It's right there with me. He is. How did they learn that? That God can be so close. Remember, this morning we heard something about how Israel came to the Red Sea, led out of Egypt into the wilderness. What was there to show them that God was keeping? It was that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire. Some have thought that it was like from the tent of meeting, it was this pillar, and then there was this mushroom, like an umbrella, over his people, shade. And that was moving over them, with them, protecting them, overshadowing his people. The Lord keeps. I can see it. Or in the night, fire, light, but also warmth. When it's dark, when it's dangerous, they could see. He keeps me. He's there on my right hand. And the time at the Red Sea, we heard it this morning, all seemed impossible. The Lord moved and there was a path in the Red Sea. But what did he do before he made a path? With the pillar of cloud, because it was during the day. What did he do? God's people, Egyptians, that pillar of cloud overshadowing them, moved in between. They could see it. Protects me from my enemies. Moves in between. God keeps his people. Israel, God, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Nothing can happen to you by day or by night. And that God is still the same today and forever. Because he says he keeps us from all evil. Verse 7a, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Now, does that mean that we have never any troubles and we will never die, go through death? Yes, it means death. But going through death, trusting in Christ, is no death. Because it brings you in the presence of the Lord. This word evil means tragedy. So, never any trials, troubles? Yes, there are. But he works them in our lives for our good. If we are his, are you his? And he works that for your good. And someone said it very helpfully. It's not always a quiet escape into a garden where you walk and talk uninterruptedly with the Lord. No, it's often a fleeing, a going to God as you travel the same ground as other people. Breathe the same air, drink the same water, go to the same stores to shop, read the same news. citizens under the same government, pay the same prices for groceries and gasoline than our neighbors, fear the same dangers at times, subject to the same pressures, get the same distresses, are buried in the same ground. But this is the difference. And it makes all the difference. Every breath we take, every step we make, we are preserved by God when we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and He accompanies us. And this world is ruled by Him. So no matter what doubts, accidents, whatever happens, He preserves us from evil. He will keep our life. That's what we see in verse 7 as well. He keeps our life. He preserves our soul. He shall preserve thy soul. That's your life. And when we listen to the New Testament, how does that work? Peter tells us, we've recently heard it, when we are in Christ, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And it's going to be revealed in the last day. Ready. It's coming. So that means that you and I take every step empowered by the Lord. We are kept by the power of God unto salvation. So we need to learn to walk and to follow on the road He placed us for His glory. Kept. As you head toward eternity, New Jerusalem, where there is this worship, where there is this closeness, where there is this, where He is there. Jesus. The greatest of all feasts will be there. Kept. That simple word. How? Because He's praying for me right now at the right hand of the Father. John 17 verse 11 gives us as it were an eavesdrop into that prayer. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are. Keep through Thy own name. Is your trust in Jesus Christ? And this prayer is for you. Prayed for you. If not, who's praying? Who's praying for you? Who's keeping you on this journey? But God's people have a comfort. He's going to keep me through my earthly journey, and He's bringing me into His presence. What a hope, what a comfort in life and death, body and soul, not my own, as we heard this morning. You can commit the keeping of your soul in the hands of this faithful, your faithful Creator, and through Jesus Christ, your faithful Redeemer. He keeps every step of the way. That's what this psalm finally also makes abundantly clear. Because it says which circumstances, which situations. He keeps us through travel. When we open this psalm and we read it together and we travel. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, verse 3 says. That's when those pilgrims were just walking through the wilderness and through the mountains and through the hills and the valleys and the deserts. And easily there could be a stone that made them trip up or fall or slide. So God says, your foot will not stumble. You will not fall. But what is a picture of just simple day-to-day life, even more so, is true spiritually when we are on pilgrimage. Because our life is a picture of that. Our entire lives, when we are in Jesus Christ, we are heading for that new Jerusalem. And He keeps us. He doesn't allow us to fall. Sin will not have the last word, not have dominion over you, believer. He will not suffer you to fall into such a way that you will be lost forever. Why? Because we trust in Him of whom Jude says, Him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us that when we come into His presence, to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to be there forever feasting because of Jesus Christ, whose blood has saved me, who sinlessly walked this earth, whom we follow, taking up our crosses. And as we travel, we know we are traveling to that glorious future, that great feast, that glorious inheritance of which the Word of God says that is incorruptible, undefiled, it's pure, and that fades not away. It cannot be taken away from you. So much here in this earth can be taken away from you. But this, if you're in Christ, is reserved, kept in heaven for you. And He keeps you for this inheritance, Peter says as well. He keeps you from falling. And if you fall, He knows how to raise you up. He will give you repentance. It's a gift. Kept through troubles. Kept through life. Kept. Verse 8 says, tells us the Lord shall keep or preserve thy going out and thy coming in. Kept. As soon as we step out of our houses, yes, literally, if we're in Christ. And when we come back into our houses. But spiritually too. Kept when you set the first step on the road. When the Lord delivers you and puts you on the road to the new Jerusalem. From the very start to the very finish, He preserves, He keeps every step of the way. And kept, fourth and finally, those who trust in Him from this time forth and even for evermore. He keeps us until we are there. In the new Jerusalem, worshiping, falling before His feet, seeing Jesus eye to eye, being changed into His image, into His likeness, safe and sound. Because He keeps forever. Through many trials, through many dangers, but yet kept. Revelation 7 gives us a peek into that. 14 through 17, you maybe remember that John was talking to the angels, and then the angel says, John asks, who are these? And the angel answers, these are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night. See, that's the feast in His temple. And He is there. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Be close. Closer than that shade on your right hand that you've experienced right now in this life. Closer is not possible. What is it? What else does it say? They shall hunger no more, thirst not anymore. And this is an echo to our psalm. neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Capped. For the Lamb, Jesus, who gave His lifeblood for sinners like you and me, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them. He keeps them still. And shall lead them unto living waters, fountains of waters. Refresh their soul forever. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Kept. Kept. Forever. If God has put you on the road, I pray, if you're not on the road, that He will do so right now. And say, Lord, give me what God's people have. But when God keeps us, He keeps us all the way. And He tells us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And so you can boldly say, humble boldness there, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Is that your confession? If not, seek Him. Seek Him today. And say, save me. Keep me forever. If that's your confession, believer, that's because of Jesus Christ, who is your Savior, your Lord, your Helper, who holds your hand every step of the way. Amen.